Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello. Seneca once said, as long as you live, keep learning how to live. Now, why am I bringing a quote right at the very beginning of the show? Well, we're going to be talking about quotes this evening. In fact, there is a wonderful small book. It's called The Stoicism Book of Quotes. Over 200 inspirational quotations from the greatest Stoic philosophers. Now, my guest is Courtney Yasenka, and with her was one of my previous guests, Nick Benas, and they worked together to produce this book. Courtney, I want to welcome you to the show. Courtney, what made the two of you decide to put together this book of quotes?
Well, we thought the Stoicism Book of Quotes would be a very timely publication and a guide, you know, for people to use in their daily life on how to live a more balanced, happier, and overall healthier life. So we worked together to compile some quotes and divided the book into, you know, 10 different chapters, each explaining the Stoic view on the topic. And we related it to everyday life and provided strategies to help embrace that Stoic mindset. So it's a really great guide and resource for people to use.
Now, Nick is a former United States Marine sergeant and Iraqi combat veteran with a background in martial arts. And he has an undergraduate degree in sociology and an MS in public policy. And he's been on my show with the other publications he's worked with. Now, you, Courtney, are a licensed clinical mental health counselor, and you work with families and individuals, various groups. And you're very much oriented towards life coaching with people. You also are certified in trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, and you have many different opinions and different perceptions about what can help people. And you've been doing this work now for 15 years. Before we started our conversation this evening, I'd ask you, what brought the two of you together to decide to put these quotes together? Did you have a stack of them that you had saved? Did he have a stack to save? How is it that you decided that you were going to come up with these 10 categories and then put in the quotes accordingly?
Well, we worked together, and like I said, we wanted to brainstorm on how to best, you know, support the general population and what we thought, you know, they could find really useful. So Nick had some quotes and did some research on, you know, the great Stoic philosophers. And I had it coming more from a cognitive behavioral therapy on, you know, the cognitive process and the things that we can control and can't control and how our outlook and our thoughts affect our feelings. And we used the Stoic virtues of courage, justice, temperance, and wisdom, and we decided, you know, how can we filter all these quotes into categories that we think people could find useful in their everyday life?
Stoicism. Now, this is not a word that you hear very commonly mentioned at any conversation. I don't think I've ever really in recent years, heard anybody mentioning the word Stoic. And it's a very powerful word, and it is something that in past generations, this is what was encouraged. And I know in Chinese culture, having a Stoic disposition was very important. In fact, they became masters. It was really something that they were ingrained with in the indoctrination, that you were never to ever show your emotions. If you were in business, you were to keep a very Stoic attitude, and you didn't take anything for granted. You didn't count your chickens before they hatched. And if you were negotiating on something, you kept a very clear face. I will use that kind of a description. And that was something you had to learn. And this fascinated me that you picked that word. How would you define the word stoicism?
Well, I think it's a very common misconception that being stoic means being void of emotion. And I've heard it growing up too, being Swedish and English, you know, oh, you're so stoic, you're not very emotional, you have no emotions. And it's really not that you don't have the emotions, it's that you actively choose, you know, thoughtfully how to react.
Mm-hmm.
So stoicism, you experience the emotion, that's part of it. You know, it's accepting the emotion, good emotions, bad emotions, but then it's choosing how to react. And not, you know, overreact. So a lot of it is about emotional regulation. So it's not necessarily that you don't have those emotions. It's that you are in control of your emotion.
Yes. And I think that is something that in our modern world, that's often encouraged not to have that stoic aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to wear your emotions on your sleeve. And that's not always something that serves people well. It depends on circumstances, and that's usually what maturity makes us aware of, hopefully. I loved one of the first quotes that you had by Cicero, who, for those that are not familiar with him, he lived hundreds of years ago, and he was known for his orations. He just was an incredible speaker. But I love this quote from him, "A room without books is like a body without a soul." And I just said, absolutely true. I could not imagine life without books. It just is something I know many people might say, oh, well, that's easy enough. No big deal. We've got computers now, but there is that magic with books. And you have also by Cicero in that very beginning of the book, the Stoicism book of quotes, six mistakes mankind keeps making century after century, believing that personal gain is made by crushing others, worrying about things that cannot be changed or corrected, insisting that a thing is impossible because we cannot accomplish it, refusing to set aside trivial preferences, neglecting development and refinement of the mind, attempting to compel others to believe and live as we do. My goodness, he could be sitting right here in studio with me and talking with me, and those are the very things that he came up with hundreds of years ago, and guess what? We're still dealing with that.
Right. Yeah, I think it's, even though it's an ancient philosophy, I think it resonates with people today, and I think it always will, you know, because it's about your choices and your control over matters and what you can do to live that balanced, happy life and not be so concerned about matters that are, you know, out of your control. And I see that a lot in my private practice, especially with people suffering from anxiety or depression. You know, once they learn to only focus and give their attention and energy to things that are within their control, you know, it kind of frees them up to stop worrying about, you know, future scenarios and the what-if thinking, and just to be really mindful and focused on the present moment.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. That is so important. And that is something that I was taught many years ago. It took me a long time to really get it. I was in my 20s at the time, and when I was taught that by my mentor, the thing is, what's the worst thing can happen to you? So I'd go off on a tangent, and she would say, okay, there's that. That's not going to happen. So what are your other options? So it's a type of shift of thinking, and that's where quotes really, really can help. I know a friend many years ago, when she'd get under a lot of stress, she would say, "And this too shall pass." And I said, "What? You're under all this stress?" Again, I was quite young. And she said, "It's not going to make any difference 100 years from now." And I said, "Well, that's true, because it's going to be a much different world from 100 years from now." But this was something she was trying to convey to me. And I think that that's really the advantage of a lot of the quotes that you have in the Stoicism book of quotes. Seneca's statement of all cruelty springs from weakness. That, to me, was so powerful. I'd never read that before. All cruelty springs from weakness. And when you really think about that, that's true. So this is something that can empower someone to have a better perception about people, can it not?
Right. It's about, you know, that self-reflection, but also understanding, you know, human nature and other people's behaviors and giving you that, you know, different perspective of looking at it.
I think that's very important. And then Epictetus, he said, if someone succeeds in provoking you, and I may have mispronounced his name, and I apologize, realize that your mind is complicit in the provocation. And you have to think about that. Why would, you know, if your trigger is activated, you're going to say to me, gee whiz, if it's my trigger that is activating and I'm offended by something that someone has said, he said centuries ago, your mind is complicit in the provocation. Now, just that statement really has a lot of power in it. And in that statement, it gives you the opportunity to say, I do have dominion over how I'm going to respond. I really do have that. So I'm going to exercise it. My goodness, how many fights would be eliminated if we did that?
I know. And I think it helps people realize that you can't always change your situation. You know, a lot of times you don't have control over that specific situation, but you're always in control of your thoughts and your feelings and your behaviors. And I think once people realize that, they'll look at situations differently and think, okay, how can I, you know, think about this situation differently so I feel different about it? And it's not changing the situation, but I always say your outlook is different than the outcome. And you're in control of the outlook, not the outcome.
This is something that I think is very, very important. And we seem to be devoid of a lot of that kind of wisdom. People are feeling like they are, you know, after the COVID period, a few years of that, dealing with the lockdowns and the isolation, there is so much fear. And you have a section on the mindset. And there is a sentence in, and that's the third chapter in your book, there's a sentence that really resonated with me. When you realize things don't happen to you, but rather with you, your outlook completely changes. How you see your situation affects and influences how you feel about that situation. Now, that is a form of detachment. What would your response be to my comment on that?
Well, I think it's, again, giving people that control and instead of, and taking almost, you know, personal responsibility for things and not necessarily blaming outside events and not thinking that, you know, things are happening to you, but with you, that you're also a part of it. And what is your part in it? And how can you, you know, make something better, you know, if you don't like it? And on the flip side, you know, how could you make something worse too? But that comes in the chapter of toxicity. But I think it's, you know, it's just changing that mindset and thinking, what is my part in this and what am I controlling in this situation?
I'll tell you what, I got a good chuckle out of one of Plato's quotes. Love is a serious mental disease. That one, I just really laughed on that one. I said, okay, here we go, folks. Love is a serious mental disease by one of the greatest philosophers that Western culture, you know, has known. And he's quoted in so many ways, and all of his writings are revered. So, you know, here you go. He must have had a bad hair day when he came up with that one. But, you know, there's just so many things when you pull together all of these famous people like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca. You know, you have these people that their wisdom has been kept alive for thousands of years. It's ageless, really, because human beings seem to repeat the same scenarios over and over again. And Marcus Aurelius was someone that understood military matters. This was a highly educated man for his era. And when He makes a statement, external things are not the problem. It's your assessment of them, which you can erase right now. I mean, he could be in a college on logic and philosophy, and these words would fit today. That would it would enjoy a discourse of conversation regarding that. Did you find that you and Nick would often talk about the various quotes that you wanted to put in here and have a discourse regarding them?
Yeah, and we would have, you know, really good discussions on things and how, you know, different types of people could see things in different ways. And also that, you know, a lot has stemmed from, you know, the Stoic philosophers, Logos therapy, and, you know, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning,
mm-hmm.
and then cognitive behavioral therapy. And it comes down to, you know, that very simple concept of, you know, having a purpose, focusing on what you can control. It's just very difficult for people to practice. And our hope is that with the quote book, you know, it is kind of chunked down into manageable reading parts and little quotes that you can read, you know, one a day. You could read the whole book in one sitting. But it's really done in a way that, you know, people can have those conversations. And it is timeless and ageless. And it's funny because I read some of these quotes with my younger nieces, and they get it, and
mm-hmm.
they like it, and they're talking about it. So I think it can really be, you know, a great gift for anybody at any age, at any time in their life, what they're going through. Because even though the quotes are so, you know, specific, they have general meanings and can be applied to a broad range of situations.
You mentioned the word toxicity, and you have a section on that. And I don't know of anyone who doesn't encounter what we would call a toxic personality. I've met more than one in my life experience, and there comes a point where you have to determine whether you're going to permit that toxicity in your life or whether you're going to say, thank you very much, have a nice day, I'm going to go get myself a donut, I'll talk to somebody else, bye. And, mm-hmm. you know, it really is important to be discerning about the company that you keep. And I like something else that you say in that, that we are in total control of our own mental hygiene. Now, I liked that because I've used that kind of an approach when I've been talking to people in many different environments. How important it is to feed the mind with the quality of material that you want to feed it with, because there's you have a choice. You can either put in junk. It's like being on a food program. What are you putting in your body? What is it that you are going to eat that's going to enable your physical chassis to be the best of health? And it's the same thing with materials, whether it's movies or music and its lyrics, anything. It really does make a difference. It really does make a difference. I like the combination of the words mental hygiene, because I think that is significant.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, our life is what our thoughts make of it. And that goes to your point that, you know, what we're putting into our life, our thoughts and our own brain is kind of going to be the outcome of our life, of our relationships, of our happiness, of our own mental hygiene. And again, it's that we're in control of those thoughts, you know, and nobody else, and in control of those situations. And I think once people practice that and embrace it, they feel a greater sense of control, they feel less stressed, and they're able to be in the present, be more mindful, and live that balanced life and have a better overall well-being.
Mm-hmm. Plato again, you found a quote that I'd never heard before. People are like dirt. Just about anybody would be thrilled to know that they're like dirt. They can either nourish you and help you grow as a person, or they can stunt your growth and make you wilt and die. And that's sort of a compliment with what I was saying and what you were expressing just a moment ago. We need to understand that we can make choices. And how many times do we encounter people, or maybe we see them on television, they're being interviewed, and they say they had kept wrong company, and that's why they got into trouble. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things that people make choices about. And I think the aspect of personal responsibility is very important. And this is something that complements that kind of understanding. When you are sharing this with other people, do you find that they like to engage in conversation if you throw a quote out at them? Do they enjoy discussing it? I know that you and Nick have no problem with that, but in general, how do you find people when you're doing a book signing responding to your conversation about these quotes?
Now, overall, the response has been really positive. And like you were saying before, I think, you know, the title sometimes confuses people. And they, you know, they weren't really sure, you know, what is Stoicism and who are these Stoic philosophers? And then once they get into it and they learn a bit more, it becomes less almost scary to them. And like I said before, they don't have to know everything about the Stoic philosophers, but their quotes, you know, are easy to read and can be applied to their everyday life. And I think any quote that you pick from this book, anybody could speak to or have a story about it or an example about it. And I think it provides really good, you know, talking points and discussions for any group of people. And it could be, you know, work related, it could be your job, it could be your family life, parenting, relationships. I think it gives a good, you know, good discussion topics on people's point of view and, you know, what they can do to feel better in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. You know, with all the commotion and the bombing and everything else that we're hearing about and have been hearing about for months, years, that are present right now, Epicurus made a statement: if God listened to the prayers of all men would quickly have perished, for they are forever praying for evil against one another. And isn't that the truth? I mean, you could take the Civil War, you can take the situation that's going on with Ukraine and Russia, you can take the situation that's going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and they, whatever their faith is, whatever their religion is, this is on my side. Your side can die, but my side is not going to die because God's on my side. People have been doing this for thousands of years, if not millions of years. I mean, it really is fascinating how we get caught up in our thinking and we deliberately do things that are going to be, that's going to be bringing harm to other people. And to really think, and that particular quote is in your segment on reasoning. Mm-hmm. And boy, that is a tough thing to really learn how to do. Because so often we're indoctrinated, especially when we're young. And we don't have anything that we really can compare with until we get older and we've lived a little bit of life. And then we might be able to look at different variables and have a good reasoning nature. But reasoning is something I feel you have to develop. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it definitely develops, you know, with age and maturity and life, you know, experiences. And it's, you know, giving you that understanding of different perspectives and situations and being able to see things from a different perspective, but then also still choose how to thoughtfully, you know, process that and how to respond. And I think that part gives you, again, you gain a sense of control, you know, over your thoughts and your emotions when you use reason. And I think, unfortunately, like you said, sometimes people forget about reason and they act impulsively and they respond without thought. And I think if they just kind of took a minute to think about the other side and other situations and perspectives, you know, they would ultimately, hopefully, feel better about their stance on things too.
Mm-hmm. Really, reasoning is something that we like to think is common, but it doesn't seem to demonstrate it that well. It really is intriguing to me to watch how certain cycles go into play. and how in certain environments there might be, for example, a lot of crime. And when you talk to the people that have committed the crime, they often have no real reason for them doing what they did. And you go, didn't you think about the possible repercussions that could come and affect you and affect those that you love? You could be end up in prison. And often they'll say, no, I didn't think about that. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Right. It's taking that time to make those thoughtful, thought out decisions and choices.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. You have a quote in here by Heraclitus, and that is, the soul is dyed the color of its thoughts. Think only on those things that are in line with your principles and can bear the light of day. The content of your character is your choice. Day by day, what you do is who you become. Your integrity is your destiny. It is the light that guides your way. Your integrity is your destiny. I wish more politicians understood that. it's really so important. And I think that that quote all by itself could stand alone and be a great inspiration to an individual to say, what do I choose? If I choose integrity, that means I have to be honest with myself. And I also have to have that integrity in all of my dealings with others. And that's a huge step forward as far as I'm concerned. When you think about this, and as an adult, you were mentioning young people in your family, and you were sharing things about the book and the quotes inside the book. This is wonderful that these young people were having conversation with you. I hear so many people that say their kids don't have that kind of interest, or the adults actually are not that interested sometimes, and then they wonder why the kids are not. It really is intriguing, but that is a very powerful quote. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you, and I think when you share these quotes with people too, I think they become even more powerful because you're having those discussions. And then you're getting other people to think about things differently. And, that's really the whole goal of this book, is to change people's perspective of things, to have a better understanding of themselves and others. And, in a perfect world, then I think everybody, would be better off if they embraced that stoic mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. And, of course, Hippocrates. Now, this is a man that was centuries ahead of the environment he was in. People are quoting him more and more when it comes to good nutrition, being well, being outdoors, making sure that you take care of yourself. And he said, before you heal someone, ask him, and I'd add, or her, if they're willing to give up the things that make them sick. And to me, that is directly what people today are talking about, the mind, body, spirit, emotion connection, because they're finding that so many times a lot of illnesses are evolving because of turmoil emotionally, whether it's hate or a feeling of loss. I mean, we've got so many different emotions that we can experience as human beings, and it really does have an effect on our wellness. And to ask someone, it reminded me of what I was told many years ago about the kahunas in Hawaii. If they had someone that came to them and say, I want you to give me a healing, they want to ask one question before they get started with anything: what is eating at you? And I'll never forget those words, because that is significant. So that means you have to listen to someone. Find out what's going on in their lives. What are they afraid of? What has intimidated them? What are they angry about? Is there discord? There's so much just in that statement. Before you heal someone, ask him if he's willing or her to give up the things that make him or her sick. That's powerful.
Right. And it's also, they might, feel a certain way or have some negative feelings, but then also have to realize, you know, do you want to change? Do you want to embrace a different mindset? Do you want to do things differently to produce different outcomes? And some people find it hard, you know, to change. And I think, like you said, that's why it's really good to have discussions with people and come from, you know, more of a holistic approach and really learn more about that person.
How has publishing this book affected you and affected Nick?
I think it's opened more conversations, and it's, you know, being a therapist, I would assume sometimes that people would understand what, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy is, or how we can change our cognitions to change how we're feeling and positive thinking. But I think the Stoicism book of quotes is, it's almost getting to a broader audience of people, because it's not people looking for mental health counseling necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of general population that just wants to live a more fulfilled life, you know, with inspiring quotes. So I think it's broadened my, you know, audience and discussions that I have with people. And I think with Nick, you know, I think it goes back to his other books, you know, the Warrior Book of Virtues, and how, you know, living a life full of virtues and the Stoic virtues, you know, kind of go hand in hand. And just, again, in his realm, you know, how to help people and even, you know, veterans, and how to get a different mindset and let go of the things that are not within your control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's broadened both of our, you know, normal kind of dealings, you know, with people and the conversations and the population that we work with, and really broadening it to a bigger audience.
Epictetus said, "From this instant on, vow to stop disappointing yourself. Separate yourself from the mob. Decide to be extraordinary and do what you need to do now." What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. Decide to be extraordinary. Yeah, it's just, you know, and that is what this little book, this could be by a bed, but I could just see a teacher using these quotes and putting it up on a whiteboard, a blackboard, and asking the students what they think about it, to have a conversation. And maybe even saying, okay, I'm going to pass this book around. We'll maybe have a few books in the room, and we're going to separate into groups, and you pick a quote as a group. Maybe have through two or three or four students sitting and saying, all right, you go through the book, and you pick a quote, write it down, and then have a discussion about it. All of you decide that that's the quote you want to do. That encourages thinking. That encourages, as you've mentioned, conversation. I think this book, it may be what we'd call a smaller book, but the Stoicism book of quotes, over 200 quotations from some of the greatest philosophers in human history. And you have these, what a wonderful way to encourage debate, to encourage critical thinking. I think that this is a tool that could be used in a very, very special way. Very special way. Especially if you are able to write it out and you read it, maybe put your favorite up on your bathroom mirror and you read it every day. You're nourishing your mind. You're putting your mind where you really want it to be. I think that's powerful stuff. That's why affirmations have been enjoyed by so many millions of people around the world in the years past, and they find that it's a very useful tool to use, and you've got some powerful ones in this little book. Now, this book is available at Amazon. Is that right?
Yep. On Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, Books A Million, usually where books are sold, but Amazon's a good place to get it.
All right, so that's a Stoicism book of quotes. Courtney Jasenka, I'm so delighted we've had this conversation. Thank you for being my guest, and I wish you continued interaction with Nick, and maybe you're going to come out with another book, and if so, let me know.
Thank you so much, Donna. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been great.
It has been wonderful chatting with you. We are saying goodbye to Courtney Jasenka, and we are going to be moving along. And I want you to know that telephone line is now open if you wanted to chat with me, 253 1-800-582-5597. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The Donna Sebo Show is heard weekdays, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Callers are welcome to call in during the second half of the program at 253-582-5597. Please note that the announcement is made at the bottom of the hour if I'm not in studio able to take phone calls. Warriors for Peace is heard every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. For current information regarding my email newsletter, programming, and appearances, go to DelphiInternational.com. For information on publications, including my award-winning children's books, audiobooks, and more, go to Mrs. Sebo's Classics.com. Well, we're going to be traveling on Monday. We are going to be going to California and visiting wine country. My guest is going to be Michael Higgins. He is an amazing photographer, and he loves the vino. Yes, wine. So he's been on my program before. This was a few years back, and that particular book he wrote about places in South America that you could go to, and just it was just a feast for the eyes and a real education about the many different wineries that were in South America. So we're going to be going to California that has a number of wineries, and of course they have blue ribbon wines that are coming out of those Napa Valley areas and others, and it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And by the way, some of these books make wonderful gifts for people, and this book on wine country is really exceptional. And then we're going to be talking about the emotional roots of chronic illness, and we're going to be talking with Jerry Cantor. He's a fascinating man, and he's been involved in the health and wellness industry in his own way, and he has his wonderful information that he shares. And then we're going to be talking with Mark Ireland. Now, Mark's father, Richard Ireland, in his day, he passed away a number of years ago, but Mark's dad, Richard, was an incredible psychic, and he did all kinds of demonstrations. He performed just all over the place, and just an amazing man. So we're going to be talking about how, because of the loss of a member of family, it was not the father, but it was Mark's son, and how that caused him to go and start investigating that which his father talked to him about from the time that he was able to spend time with his son. So it's a fascinating, fascinating story. And Mark, of course, has come out with his publication, and he's published some other stuff, too, relative to his father that I think you'll find interesting. And then It's Not Your Fault. Lorac Connell is going to be my guest, and we're going to find out why whatever it represents, is not your fault. Well, we're going to find out more about that. And then Deals, Danger, and Destiny with John LaCash, and oh, so much more. So we have got a lot of diversity in our subject matter, and I think we're going to have a good time talking with all of these talented people. Now, if you want to, you can go into my website and you can find the newsletter that came out on the first of every month. My newsletter goes out and I list the authors that are coming on the show, etc. So all of that is available to you. And then if there's anything that grabs your interest and you say, oh, I couldn't listen at this time or on this day, all you have to do, you've got a couple of choices. You can go into the player that is playing the latest 13 to 15 hours of programming 24/7, or you can go into the archives and look for the author, because that's what I feature. I feature authors because I am, number one, a big believer in reading, and number two, I think the written word has so much power to it. And when we have a book in hand, some of you may prefer Kindle, however you like to do it, but I like the book. I like to hold the book. I like to be able sometimes to make notations in the book. I find books are these wonderful friends that keep you company, and they're never grumpy, they're never grouchy, and they'll patiently wait for you to open their pages so that you can feast upon that which is written within those pages. So anyway, oh, I almost forgot. On Warriors for Peace, the next guest we are going to have is Jerome Segal, and this is about the Olive Branch from Palestine. I think you'll find the conversation most interesting, especially with the conflict that is going on. And these are Jerome's perceptions. And of course, sadly, there is so much that is happening over there at this time, and it's war is always hideous. It is always hideous. I don't know of very many people that jump up and down with joy when they go, oh, good, we get to go to war. I don't think so. It destroys so much. It destroys food supplies, the infrastructure for transportation, medical treatment. It's just horrible what it does. But human beings, they're the ones that set this up. And they're the ones that create the very environment that is appalling. And we really shouldn't have to go through that, but we human beings seem to be a little hard-headed. And we don't seem to learn very readily or very well that which we should learn and look at life with a different perspective. And our values, our character, so much comes out when this kind of happening is going on. Donna Sebo here, 253-582-5597. Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you was a commentary by a person that said, you know what? I really am addicted or have been addicted to my phone. They would no more consider going anywhere without their phone, and they're on the phone all of the time. And Dana Evans is the individual that submitted this information and said that they were on the phone all the time, and they would say, well, my memory's not good, so everything goes into the phone. And spelling, not good at spelling, and they got very, very frustrated with themselves. And they were college, you know, this person is a college graduate. And this person was noticing that their memory, where they didn't feel they had ever had that good a memory patterning, was really getting worse. And it was very frustrating them. So they decided to take on a challenge. They were going to work with their brain. And they decided to stop looking up stuff online and to see what would happen. Well, they would remember a movie, the characters in the movie, and they would try to recall the details, and often they get very flustered. They would see part of it, they wouldn't see all of it, and then maybe an hour or two later, bingo! Sort of like being a trivia expert. You've got all of these little files in your brain. And this caused them to really dig deep inside of themselves. Said, I've got to stop using the phone for everything. It's very important for me to cultivate my memory. And little by little, their memory started to get better and better and better. And when this person was going out with friends, they found, oh, people are having a tough time remembering things. I can remember. So their memorization skills really improved. And they said, they realized 7 out of 10 times when something would come up, eventually they would get that name of that person or the movie or some other point of trivia. And this individual said, Dana said, I want to be able to have a strong brain, not a weak brain. And by golly, that is something that really has made a huge difference in their lives. Is it conjuring up a meaningless fact instead of instantly looking it up is a good way to just keep yourself active mentally? And it is something, it's a discipline, and that's what they found out. And this person, Dana, said, I really turn things around. And today, this individual gets all kinds of notifications. You've only used 9 minutes in the entire day. Or for the week, you've only used 15 minutes, if that. And they just totally ignore it. They say, nope, that's fine with me. I don't want to be brain dead. And that is something that many researchers are finding, that the use of materials that are on the internet that we're dumbing ourselves down, and we can reverse it just like Dana's done. I just think it is so much fun to be able to sit and talk to people and bring up points of information. And I will tell you, there's been more than one instance that I have remembered something and that maybe one of my guests or a story I've heard, and I will share it, and I may have to say I can't recall their name right at the moment, but I know eventually I would find out who that person was or remember who that person was or where I heard the information that I wanted to share with people. And it really is an exercise when you start doing that. So take the time. Don't be on the phone so much where you are just totally preoccupied with it. Remember, how you feed your mind, your brain, makes all the difference in the world. And you know, so many of us, and I'm guilty of this when I'm working on my computer for hours at home, my shoulders will start to burn. I mean, really burn. And it's very uncomfortable. But it's my body's way of saying, all right, you've been sitting at the computer long enough. And we all end up, unless we situate ourselves otherwise, with our heads coming forward, we're looking at the screen, and we're stressing out muscles. So it's a good thing to remember, get up periodically, roll your shoulders, bend over, touch your toes, just shake those shoulders and get them to move. And you're going to find that a lot of the stress and tension, which is really like lactic acid that's working up in the muscles, creating that burn, then you want to be able to shake it out. Yep, just go into the ladies' room or the men's room and just shake, 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 shake. It makes a huge difference, and it relaxes the muscles. It really is a good thing to do. Sunshine and Gizmo. This is something that I just find so fascinating, how different species of creatures will bond together. And Gizmo is a cat, and Sunshine is a bearded dragon. That's right. It's a lizard. And do you know the cat and the lizard have become buddies? Now, that is as unlikely a pair as you could ever imagine. But they really enjoy each other's company. And when the weather is getting colder like it is today, and when the sun is coming through the window and the glass, the lizard likes to be in the sun. Lizards, reptiles don't like cold weather. So they want that sunshine. So wherever they are, they just bask in the sun. And Gizmo said, yeah, I'll keep you company. It's a lot of fun when you find out how critters end up getting along and doing absolutely beautifully together. So I thought I would share that with you. 253-582-5597. One of the points of information that keeps coming up, and that is that blue light that the computer puts off it is really not very good for sleep, and it creates a lot of fatigue with the eyes as well. And one of the alarms that people will use, I know I've talked to more than one individual, if they don't have their cell phone glued to their hip, then they just feel like they're lost. Their whole world is on that cell phone. Well, they will use the alarm on the cell phone. And they're finding in research that it's a good idea to just get an old-fashioned alarm. Now, there's a Dr. Elroy of Regenera Medical, and he said, an old-fashioned alarm clock is a healthy upgrade for a distraction-free bedroom. And you want the display so that it's going to be able to be seen easily, but you don't want it real, real bright. And you want to have an alarm that when it goes off, it's not going to make you jump up out of bed and feel like you're going to come out of your skin. You want to really pay attention to the tone of the alarm. You want it so that it is a tone that will wake you up. I had a friend, and I would occasionally stay with her, and this was many years ago, and I will never forget. One morning, I had to be up early, and she had been working very, very late. She was sleeping through three alarm clocks. She had them set up so they'd each go off and each had a different tone to it. She slept right through all of it. She was so exhausted. Woke me up, but it's, you know, all I did was go, where is that noise coming from? And they would keep ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. She slept right through all of it. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. One of the aspects of what I think is so positive in life is how people respond to emergencies. And we have so many things that can go wrong. And I think of the, I'll call them Good Samaritans, that have assisted me at different times in my life when I really needed assistance, and they were just there. I recall one person that I knew for about 3 years before we ended up finding different paths that we were going to be experiencing, making different choices. And this individual had done something very, very nice for me. And I said, I just don't know how I can repay you. Have you ever said that to someone? Well, this person said something to me, and I remember I had not heard this from anyone before. He said, just remember, there will come that time when maybe there is someone that's going to need assistance from you. Just pass it on. And I'm sure you've heard the story about pass it on. But it's something that as we're in the holiday season, it's so easy to get stressed. And it's so easy to feel overwhelmed and distracted with all kinds of stuff. And when you're standing in line and the lines are going to be so long and you're going to be in stores, whether it's for groceries or buying gifts for people, whatever it is that you're going to be doing. And just remember, patience with a capital P, because you want to really, you want it in bold in your mind. You want to really remember that courtesy and thoughtfulness, kindness goes a long way. And it can really make a difference with someone. Sometimes we will have people around us that are so agitated, and you need to remember there may be something that's going on in their lives. It brings to mind a story about a guy who was on a subway. I believe it was in New York. And his little boy was with him. And the little boy was making a lot of commotion, and there was this person that was there that said, You just are not a very good parent. And the man looked up at the person that was criticizing him, and he said, the boy's mother just died. He said, I think it's good that he's happy. Well, the man that made the comment had no idea that this was a husband that was in deep grief. And the child was not aware of what really had occurred. And so was playing and laughing and giggling and talking with just a little person. The person that made the complaint, they decided that they really had made a mistake. And they apologized. That is sometimes what happens, that we cannot see. We just don't know what's going on in someone else's life. You have people that get into accidents and they're very agitated. And you go, okay, you're agitated. How can we talk about this? You know, my guest, we were talking about the quotes and the things that you can memorize, that when you find yourself in a situation where you're getting very agitated and your emotions are starting to carry you in a direction that you really don't want to follow, having those little quotes, like I mentioned, a friend of mine said, "And this too shall pass." What are you going to give energy to? What are you going to give your attention to? How do you want to conduct yourself? It really is a discipline. And it's something when we're extremely tired, or maybe we're a caretaker and we've been taking, or just exhausted, and we just feel like we've been drained of every ounce of energy that we've got. Take a deep breath and try to think before you speak. And that's where stoicism comes in. When one is stoic, usually it's because they're trying to think something through. They're really trying to pay attention to what they're doing, to what they're saying, and how they're going to respond. We've all encountered situations where maybe we have said something that we feel is very inappropriate and we regret it. And even if we apologize, we just feel like, wow, what a dumb thing for me to say. Well, remember, that's a lesson. And should another situation come up, you'll know how to handle it next time. It's always a good idea to reflect on what it is that you want to shift and change about yourself. And remember, be patient with yourself, because sometimes those habits that we have been indoctrinated with or have adopted because we felt like we should, when it comes that time when you don't need it anymore, you've got to replace it with something that's better. And it can make all the difference in the world. And not only that, you're going to find that you feel as a human being that you are sort of like a light. Like a light. And you remember that you want to maybe help someone else out that needs to know that they've got a light inside of themselves and that they can flip that switch and have a whole different perspective about what they value, about how to look at a situation. You can make a big difference in a person's life. Sometimes it's surprising how just a kind thought, a kind word, a clarity in thinking expressed to someone that maybe needs to have that, it can change a person's life. I've seen it happen more than once. It's quite fascinating when you really think about it. So nourish your mind, nourish your attitudes with the right kind of nutrition. Be discerning about what you choose to associate with and what you choose to be, because you must remember you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Donna Sebo here. I know we're just about out of time. Thank you for being with me. I love to have your company, and have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. And if you are in areas like Virginia, Vermont, or here in the state of Washington, the winds are blowing, it's raining, just bundle up and take a deep breath of that fresh air that is all around you and look at the beauty that is removing itself because old man winter is getting ready to come in and keep us company. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.